Pediatrician and professor of pediatrics Ann Sutera Botosh was one winter's day in central New York looking at the empty bedrooms of her now grown-up children and deciding to do some cleaning. She pulled out a plastic bag from a deep part of the closet and discovered bundles of yarn that she and her grandmother had used one summer after her first year in medical school. She wrote an essay about that time, and I'd like to read you an excerpt. It's called Grandma's Yarns by Ann Sutera Botosh. Grandma's pink crochet hook was carefully inserted into a small light blue ball of yarn. I pulled it out and held the cool metal between my thumb and forefinger, remembering how she had shown me. She had made these blanket starters that summer so that I would always be able to go back, carefully pull out a few stitches, and relearn the pattern. "Rip it," she would say, while slowly pulling out all the loops so that we could watch the pattern in reverse. "Now you." It was as if she were sitting in her beige corduroy rocking chair and I were sitting at the floor at her feet. I picked up the gold yarn in my left hand and the hook in my right. The hook found the free loop of the tiny blanket, and my fingers mechanically began to stitch. My hands were no longer smooth and young, but had become my grandmother's hands. Many of our sessions were devoted to crocheting. Her stitches were so uniform that had I not been watching her fingers kneading the yarn myself, it would have been hard to differentiate her work from that of a machine. The edges of her afghans were always perfectly straight. "Count," she would remind me as she saw me start to daydream. It would be too late. I would lose track, and she could tell. She would pick up my handiwork and hold it to the light, counting and examining the piece of woven yarn as if I had performed plastic surgery. "Rip it," she would command again. Sadly, I would pull out the last half hour of work and start over. My little errors would send the pattern in a different direction. Going back and examining where I had gone astray, confident that the next set of stitches could be improved, if not perfected, was as ingrained as a life strategy. Each time that I would rip and repeat, the stitches would improve. Eventually, the loops would align in tight, neat rows, like corn on the cob, and meet with Grandma's approval. "Good," she would pronounce without much fanfare. Then the next week, we would start again with a new stitch. In between visits, she would nearly finish the blanket. I lifted the bag and noticed it was not empty. Reaching inside, I felt the familiar creased edge of folded paper money. To my surprise, I pulled out a $10 bill that had been neatly folded in half, then in half again. "Take it," my grandmother had likely said, as she always did when I was leaving her house. I would usually refuse, and then she would tuck it into my jeans pocket. She must have slipped it into the bag as our summer sessions together had ended. When I went back to school that fall, I was armed with a fresh confidence instilled by my grandmother's lessons in perseverance. Although the money had been concealed for years and the yarn left untouched, the life lessons had been practiced and treasured.